This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, March 16th, 2018. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, how unions can renew themselves, creating jobs with care economies, Labour's concerns about future work, the Labour Start report about union events around the world, and singing Let's Work Together. This is Radio Labour. The Global Union, which represents teachers and other education workers, has started a program to help unions renew themselves as they confront new challenges. Education International represents more than 30 million workers who are members of 400 labor organizations. One of the organizations EI asked for advice on how unions can renew themselves is Malaysia Academic Movement. Robert Jayakumar Nathan is a senior lecturer at Malaysia's Multimedia University.
I'd like to talk about three things in relation to union renewal in Malaysia. Number one, why is it important to have union renewal? I think the challenges are different as we change to different generations. Union renewal is important to stay abreast to new challenges that is facing society. It is also to ensure there is a succession from seniors to younger union members, so the struggle continues and new leaders can take on the struggles. And there are always new challenges faced by the new generations. New challenges for new generations. The challenges are never the same. Some similarities, but new types of challenges faced by new generations could best be addressed by this generation itself. Number two, what can union do to address this? I think union certainly needs young leaders. Young leaders could be paired with seniors. So young leaders may have limited experience, but if you can pair them up with their seniors, they could address issues better. It's also a form of mentoring. Number three, empower young leaders to run projects. Let them have experience in being leaders and run small-scale projects nationwide that will train them to become more mature leaders. And number three, what can EI do to help local unions for union renewal quickly? EI can continue to engage unions in running projects on and organizing get-together, where we come together and do activities together. This is Robert from Move Malaysia.
There are about 200 million unemployed in the world, and that's just counting the people who are officially looking for work. How do we find employment for the millions who want a job? C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
The key to increasing employment for both women and men is to build an economy based on the provision of care services. That is the central message of the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC is the global body which represents national trade union centers such as the AFL-CIO in the United States and the Ghana Trades Union Congress. The need for a care economy was explained by Annalie Tuvera at a recent conference of the UN's International Labor Organization, the ILO. Ms. Tuvera is the ITUC's gender specialist for the Asia-Pacific region.
I know you probably read or heard it many times. The future is female. But what does it mean exactly when working families, particularly women, are facing multiple care responsibilities, when they're penalized for demanding more flexibility or for taking advantage of flexibility options, when they are systematically driven out of their jobs by staggering costs of childcare or difficulties of getting childcare, when childcare costs are rising and yet childcare providers, which are mostly women, are some of the most lowest paid workers in the world? What are women who are trying to create a better future for their families and children? These are the same people we put our hearts, hopes, and aspirations on as the key builders of the society and the community are supposed to do in these situations. I feel that things don't have to be this difficult. The trade union movement recognizes that it makes a lot of sense to invest in care, and so it organizes its work around the care economy. A research commissioned by the International Trade Union Confederation in 2006 looking at the employment growth potential in the care economy in seven OECD countries, including Australia and Japan, found both economic and social benefits in investing in care. It will create millions of jobs. It will reduce the persistent gender employment gap. It will contribute to realizing gender equality in human development. And what could be more better than this? The economist from the Women's Budget Group who did a study using an advanced simulation looking at the employment impact of investing equivalent of 2% of GDP into social infrastructure of education, health, and social care services, particularly child care and elderly care, found that if you invest in care, it would actually generate over 21 million of jobs. It would also increase overall employment by around 2.4, if I'm not mistaken, to 6.1, depending on a country. Around 59 to 70% of those directly created jobs will be taken up by women. But beyond this, there are other employment multiplier effects, in particular raising the overall male employment from 1.4 to 4% in different countries. So in short, having the right kind of investment can actually turn the social crisis on care around. Not only it would increase women's employment, but at the same time, it will unlock the economic potential of women who cannot access employment simply because they have to perform unpaid care work for their families, children, and the sick. Well, the solutions don't even need to be so complicated. We urgently need family-friendly work policies to support women in their child-caring and career years. We need support and more support for working families in order for them to manage, plan their work in everyday life. We need high-quality, affordable childcare and early childhood opportunities. Imagine if you have more women who are actually holding seats, not just at the table, but in leadership. There is no limit on what they can contribute and achieve collectively.
An extended version of Ms. Tavera's presentation is available on the Radio Labor website at www.radiolabor.net.
Trade unionists around the world are becoming increasingly concerned about the impacts of new technologies and business practices which will impact work in the future. Some of these new technologies include artificial intelligence, driverless cars, and computer apps. And then there are emerging business practices such as Uber, which makes underpaid drivers essentially extensions of computer communication systems. Where all of this is heading is the focus of an initiative of the International Labor Organization. The ILO is the UN specialized agency concerned with matters of work in the world. It has established a global commission on the future of work to study the new technologies and practices coming our way and make recommendations for how governments, employers, and unions can react. One of the members of the ILO's Commission on the Future of Work is Philip Jennings, the General Secretary of Uni Global Union. Mr. Jennings is concerned about the new technologies coming into play and how they will be implemented.
I am worried because Silicon Valley doesn't seem to understand the necessity for all workers to have dignified wages and working conditions. I'm worried about the new economy actors not understanding that we need to lift all of the boats and not just those of the privileged. I'm worried that the world is losing its compass in terms of the necessity to bring broader social cohesion and for the benefits and for the wealth that is produced to be better shared than they are today. The situation that we have at the moment is not sustainable. It is full of risks. It's creating great insecurities, and this is having great ramifications in terms of people's livelihoods, in terms of people's sense of well-being, and also in terms of the political choices that they make.
Now, here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the average of 310 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to coverage of the general strike for basic labor rights in Gabon, the coming showdown between French rail unions and the Macron government, and the non-governmental organizations in Thailand who are working to resettle freed slaves. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Water supply workers started and then won a national open-ended strike last week as they attempted to address widespread corruption and mismanagement in the South African water system. A wage strike by customs officials has the Haitian government using police to collect duty at the country's borders. The workers who try to prevent mosquitoes from breeding are off the job in India's capital. Copper prices worldwide are rising as a result of a walkout at a mine in Panama. Buses were off the roads in parts of Bangladesh as public transport drivers protested extortion by the police. Chinese workers at a high-fashion factory struck over what are generally agreed to be illegal working conditions, including excessive mandatory overtime and wage theft. Workers at a tire manufacturer in South Korea downed tools in an effort to stop the sale of their workplace to a Chinese corporation. On the same day, a sit-in over the casualization of university cleaning staff ended with a victory for the Korean workers after 57 days. And a major bank was shut as financial services workers stopped work in a protest over job losses due to restructuring in Antigua and Barbuda. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the wage gap in the British banking industry, widespread workplace harassment of women in Indonesia, and of women working in Canada's film and television industry. The Health and Safety Newswire, rerun in cooperation with Hazards Magazine, carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the radiation hazards faced by the crews of airliners, a threat by subway workers in Buenos Aires to strike if necessary in order to have their asbestos concerns addressed, and a one-day walkout by electrical utility workers in Pakistan over workplace safety concerns. Currently, LabourStart is running 4 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from LabourStart, reporting for Radio Labour.
Here's the British singing group The Workers with Let's Stand Together.
Divided we'll fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball. Let's work together. Come on, come on, let's work together. Because together we will stand. Every boy, every girl, every man. People, when things go wrong, and sometimes they will, and the road you travel. Come on, come on, let's work together.
Let's work together.
Because together we will stand, every boy, every woman and a man.
You know what we're talking about? Oh, yeah. Woo!
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.